A white man? No!
Welcome to the Unsub as a White Man. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we're back with an episode of Criminal Minds.
It surely is an episode.
It did air on television. You know, it's so weird that this spinoff didn't take off.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, and this episode tells us exactly why Suspect Behavior only lasted for, what, one season?
Yeah, I can't even believe it went for one whole season because it's so badly cast.
Yeah.
And the characters are so badly written
mm-hmm.
that I don't know why anyone would ever want to watch this.
I don't know. It's just,
there's only so much one man can do, and that one man is Forrest Whitaker, and he can't do it all.
He tries.
He sure does try.
He's trying so hard.
Harder than this deserves, I would say. We are discussing The Fight, which originally aired April 7th, 2010, and was a swing and a miss for the greater Criminal Minds universe.
Yes. This one starts with one of many shots of helicopters.
Yes, there's a lot of helicopter shots in this.
Okay, so it starts with there's somebody in a helicopter and they get a report of a dead body in a San Francisco park. I guess, are there just police helicopters over San Francisco all the time?
I don't know. I thought it was so weird because why did they need the helicopter? They drive up to the body very shortly after. So what was the helicopter for? They knew where to look, obviously.
Yeah. And the helicopter is not going to go to the park.
No. It can't land there. I don't know.
It's so confusing.
You know what it is? It's a good old waste of resources.
Did they just have a helicopter budget that they hadn't used up and they just found that line item?
Maybe. Or maybe someone's brother-in-law was like, I really want to be in an episode, but I drive a helicopter.
Can you act? He's no, but I can pilot a helicopter.
You're just hired.
Some producer's brother.
Yes.
The man that they find was badly beaten and then shot. The detective on the scene tells another officer that they need to call the FBI because it's starting again.
Ooh, it's very ominous.
Yeah. So then we cut to a man and a teenager walking up the street.
Okay, but wait. I could never live in San Francisco because
the hills are so, they're just walking up having a conversation.
Yeah, I would be dying.
And they're arguing.
Right. I wouldn't even be able to walk up the stairs and have that argument. But they're walking up this hill.
Did you immediately peg them as a dad and a daughter? Or
no.
Did you think they were a couple?
Yes. That's why I was stopping you. Because I thought for sure they were a couple. And then he says something about her being only 14. And I was like, no.
No, she's not.
No.
Yeah.
And
I live with a 13-year-old. That girl's not 14.
Right, exactly. And it just, I was like, no, this is two people arguing on a date.
Yeah, because she's like, are you hungry again? And she's like, no.
It was very weird. The tone was weird. They don't look like father and daughter.
Yeah. They're eventually you realize they're having an argument about whether or not she's old enough to date. Mm. And she's being such a little brat about it that you're obviously you're not mature enough
right,
to date.
Right, exactly.
A strange man approaches them. He's at the top of the hill.
It's a very horror movie. He's silhouetted and lit from behind.
Asks them what. He's like, what do you guys think is going on with the helicopters tonight? And I'm like, excellent question, sir. I also was wondering about the helicopters. The dad tries to shoo him away, but the man's like, no, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Jane. And you're immediately like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because at first you can't see his face, but then they just show you his whole face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, he kind of looks like an old Seth Green.
but he doesn't have red hair.
He doesn't have red hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was
like, I can see the resemblance.
I
now
was
that you
confused.
Pointed out. He's disconcerting.
Yeah. Because
sure.
He's like,
not that Seth Green's disconcerting, but.
No, but he's clearly supposed to be the unsub and really threatening, but he's just a regular, slightly disheveled, but handsome guy.
Yeah. More handsome than some of the unsubs we've seen.
Yeah.
More handsome than the dad.
Yeah. He's more handsome than the one con artist guy that was supposed to be really handsome.
They tried too hard for that. That's why.
Yeah.
But did you know that this dad was in another episode as an unsub?
No. Who was he?
He was the bank robber guy in season 2 Psychodrama, the one where he made them all get naked when he held them hostage. Yeah, he was that unsub.
Weird.
And now he's back as the dad. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
The unsub guy was in a movie called Blood Lake, Attack of the Lampreys. Oh. In case you were wondering, which is a movie I have actually watched part of because I had a group of kids in my class a couple years ago who were obsessed with lampreys because they found out they lived on our like local river mm-hmm. and thought they were really creepy and cool. And yeah. I was looking for like a documentary.
And so you and showed I them found Blood Lake?
That, well, I did not show them that, but I found it on Amazon at home and I was like, I got to watch this. And I made it through like 20 minutes of it and it was one of the worst things I've ever seen. But I love a good like... B movie creature feature.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah. Anyway, the man pulls a gun out and tells them both to come quietly.
Hmm.
So then we cut to Forrest Whitaker, who is doing some kind of martial arts. I couldn't identify it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what exactly. They're fighting.
Some kind of hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah. With mm-hmm. various sticks and fake knives, it looked like. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's all set to the Rolling Stones' Street Fightin' Man, which is a bit on the nose. But Hotch comes in and...
Couldn't look more out of place in a gym setting.
He could not. But he briefs him on the case. We learn that he is Sam Cooper, who is the leader of another BAU team.
I guess.
That other team that, other that team they're always talking about. Yeah. Cooper tells him that apparently 2 years ago, four men were found in the same condition in the same park, mm-hmm. then four more the next year. And now there's this murder a year later. It's all like a year to the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Cooper has also connected these murders to another set of murders because both previous years, the days after the dead men stopped showing up in the park, a dad and his brunette daughter have been found dead in their car.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Yeah. I was super annoyed, though, with this conversation from the get-go because Hotch is like, you know, I'm on my way to the briefing or the jet or whatever. We've got a case. And, like, I don't have a lot of time. But he does have enough time for Forrest Whitaker to take a shower, change his clothes, and for them to relocate to a bar.
Yeah.
Before he gets this
and
rundown.
If you were going to, like, have, like, a meeting with somebody, you're like, I have something really important to tell you. Would you be, like, in the middle of a... I mean, I assume Hotch was like, I'll be there at whatever time.
Right. And he was like, great, meet me at the gym. Meet and then he gets there. He's still in the middle of his workout.
Meet me at the gym and then you can follow me to a second location.
right. And also wait 30 minutes for me while I finish this up, go change and shower. And yeah. then we get in the car. We don't talk in the car.
No.
Or on the walk or wherever when yeah. they go from point one to point two or yeah. whatever.
Do you think Hotch was like wheels up and... 1 to 2 hours, depending on what I ordered to drink. but yeah, so he wants Hotch to bring him and his team in on the case because the director already said no.
Mm-hmm.
None of this makes any sense to me because they have gone off to places on much, much flimsier evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the FBI has already been invited in.
Right.
Do they have to invite a specific team?
I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense.
Why wouldn't... I mean, you've got all of these sets of murders plus these other murders.
Yeah. It makes tons of sense. Plus, they discuss how Hotch's team could work on the homeless men and yeah. Forrest Whitaker's team could work on the father-daughter.
Or why isn't Forrest Whitaker's team just being called in on this in the first place?
Because they have
he's
the
one who already knows the case. Why are they bringing in this other team?
I don't
I don't understand how the bureaucracy works. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, they decide that Hotch's team will look into the dead men and Cooper's team will look into the possible abducted fathers and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I was like, but couldn't Garcia just look that up for them too?
Yes. But so, you wouldn't get to meet the whole other team.
I don't want to because they're terrible. I mean, we haven't met them yet, but they're going to be terrible.
They're going to be terrible.
Don't get your hopes up, anyone.
Yes.
It's not a team full of Forrest Whitakers, I'll tell you that right now.
It surely is not.
But yeah, I thought that was really strange. Like, Garcia has looked up much more with much less information.
They're like, let's bring in four other people to do something Garcia could do from her computer in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
So we see that Jane and her dad are chained up in a basement or something somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's some big room.
Yeah.
The unsub tells the dad that if he gives her Jane, they'll both live. And the dad says to go to hell. And the man walks out and leaves them there.
Mm-hmm. They're chained like around their necks and stuff too. But it's in a very loose way that looks like the dad could lift the chain over his own head, right?
Yeah, the chains are weird. Mm-hmm. That's a weird way to tie somebody up, mm-hmm. to chain them around the neck with an actual chain. Who has chains?
Right? But like their hands are also chained.
Yeah.
I don't, there's a lot of chains.
It's very cartoony. It's like Jacob Marley.
Just dragging him out of chains. I don't know.
Because the plot of this episode is so dumb, mm-hmm. I spent so much time focusing in on bizarre little details.
Yeah, exactly. Like the chains. Mm-hmm. And I had to keep reminding myself to pay attention and take notes because I was like either disinterested and accidentally thinking about like something else I had to do, or I would just be staring like with that weird disbelief, like, what is happening on screen look?
You're like, did I miss something? No, it just doesn't make sense. We get our first quote. Mother Teresa said, I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
So on the plane, Rossi asks about the victim, and Reed informs us that the Tenderloin District, which they keep saying, and I know it's a real thing, but it's
hard to hear.
It sounds silly. It's home to a large population of homeless people and drug addicts, and that all of the men found have been transients. Morgan points out that the challenge of the hunt isn't a draw for the unsub. It's all part of a larger plan that he has going on, mm-hmm. over all these murders over the years.
Yeah, obviously there's a large plan. I mean, killing a specific number of people within a specific number of days on the same date 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Seems like
there's some sort of a plan here. Like, really? Rossi is like, so what we're going to do is we're going to investigate the dead men while the other team investigates the possible abduction. You're like, we literally went over we already know. We don't need you to tell us again. We can assume that you know too.
You guys have to have a conversation without us present at some point.
Yeah. And Hotch tells him that the director didn't approve Cooper's team's involvement, but Rossi says that he trusts Cooper, and if he thinks there's a connection, they need to work with him. So obviously Cooper's, you know, a really, really well-known guy that has never once come up until almost the end of the fifth season.
They've
of
never
this
mentioned
show.
His name even one time, but sure.
Yeah. So then we get to meet Cooper's team, and they're just the BAU. If the BAU had no charisma and more toys instead.
Yes. Yes. I was like, because they're all like, they're supposed to correspond almost directly, I guess, with each member, right? But there's not as many of them.
Yeah.
And they're all very bland.
Yes. They're setting up their base of operations. They're not characters. They're just stereotypes.
Yeah.
Like they've got like the pretty blonde woman. Mm-hmm. So they've got the girl.
Yeah.
They have a nerdy man, mm-hmm. and they have a bad boy who, despite being actually portrayed by a Welsh actor,
sounds like
he is faking his accent so badly. Yes. I had to look it up because the accent was so bad.
Yeah.
And, like, before somebody tells us that maybe we just don't know what a Welsh accent sounds like, we work with a Welsh woman.
Yes.
And also, my kid was obsessed with Fireman Sam when he was little, which is a Welsh cartoon. And Welsh accents are weird, but this one was bad.
Yeah, it sounds made up. It sounds like if I was trying to do a Welsh accent or something.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But they're all terrible. Mm-hmm. None of them have any personality at all.
It's like Forrest Whitaker is trying to carry all of these people on his back, and it's not working.
Yeah. So the woman, Gina, is like, what if we look into school absences to see if we can find a girl, narrow it down to 13 to 18. You're like, so a teenager then.
In the greater San Francisco area. Yeah. No problem.
And then cross-reference it to find like only with yearbook photos. So it's only the brunette girls, and then find out if any of their dads are missing. And everybody's like, wow, nice work, Gina.
Never would have thought
that. That is the most basic thing you could possibly do.
Right.
And Garcia could do it in 5 seconds.
Right.
So why are we even wasting time?
And
with
why
this?
Is Gina doing it and not their nerdy tech guy, right? Who should be the Garcia of the team?
The Prophet, you mean?
Yeah.
They call him Prophet. Yes. That's his nickname. And
he,
I hate it.
I know.
I hate it so much.
He
was on House of Cards.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. He was really good on House of Cards, which makes it even more disappointing that he's here doing this.
Yeah.
Because his storyline only gets worse as this episode goes on.
Yeah. I'm like, you can act. Why are you doing
this?
Why
are you here? Yeah. I mean, same for Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Like, you're too good to be here. If you were going to be here, this should be much better than what it is. Like, it should be written way better.
Yeah.
It's the writing. The writing is so bad. Like, I feel like it's not even their fault.
No, they don't
They're trying so hard.
None of them have anything to do.
No. No, it's so dumb.
Yeah. So Hotch and Morgan note the defensive wounds on the latest body when they check it out at the morgue. And then we see that the dad, he's like, seems shocked to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a drained pool.
Yes.
It's almost like he just woke up and I'm like, where am I? But he's standing up in the pool.
Yeah.
So clearly he was led into this pool.
Right. But you know what? I do love the visual of an empty pool from above.
It's like, a creepy place.
It is. Like, yeah.
They have a good setting for this.
Yeah.
But it's just a dumb thing that is happening.
Right, exactly. I saw a great performance of Therese Raquin where all of the play took place down in the empty pool and the audience sat on bleachers up on the top, like at the edge of the pool.
Ooh, cool.
So you were like looking down at all, seeing all the action from above, and it worked very well with the plot.
Nice.
And my favorite J.D. Salinger short story, to Esme with Love and Squalor, has an empty pool in it, but Nate wouldn't let me name the baby Esme, so.
What? Because of Twilight?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
You guys have never read the Twilight books.
They're not good.
I know about Twilight. I exist in the world. I know the basic plot points, but.
Yeah. This is like when my daughter was born and I told my mother-in-law at the time what her name was, what the name we had picked. And she pointed out that Sarah Palin has a daughter with the same name. And I was like, I need to change her name right now. Like, I didn't know that. I was not aware.
Oh,
I don't follow Sarah Palin.
I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah.
But anyway, so an empty pool is a great setting.
Yeah.
Too bad they don't do anything with it. Because you know what's even dumber about this? Any of these people could climb out of this pool at any
point. I know. They're like supposed to be trapped in the pool, but the pool's only like 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
Like you can just get out of a pool.
You don't even need a ladder. You can just climb out.
Yeah.
Or like one person give the other person a little lift up there.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I guess the unsub is like standing there with the gun.
Not the whole time though.
But not all the time. Sometimes he's there.
I have to assume other times.
Also, one of the whole sides of the pool is just steps.
Right.
So you could just go to that.
That's true. Even if you couldn't. That's an even better point.
Because we see the part where he's just sitting on the steps.
Yeah. Because there are times, like after the action's over, that the unsub walks away and leaves him in the pool. And I assume that he climbs out again. Is he chaining himself back up, though? There's a lot of holes here, okay?
They didn't write this for the plot.
It's really
or the character development. I don't know why this is here.
This is really terrible.
So the unsub decides that he's going to make them fight and tells the dad that he's going to kill the girl if he loses. Mm-hmm. And the dad is shockingly good at fighting.
Yeah.
I guess he's just really strong from walking up all those hills all the time. But I like guess, he just looks like a big nerd and he's like wearing a plaid shirt and some khakis.
Yeah.
And he just beats the shit out of this big giant tattooed guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about this. But anyway.
The big tattooed guy has obviously been in another fight before the dad got there because he's like kind of roughed up too. So we have to assume he's already won one fight at least.
Yeah.
But
we see like, and again, using the pool to its fullest extent, like that visual. We don't actually see anything because they're just taking the shot from behind the unsub. So you can't even see down into the pool most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
It's dumb.
Well, it saves them a lot of money.
Yeah. So one of the men wins the fight and he shoots the other one, but you don't see which one is which. So you don't know. He just like, can you stand? Can you stand? And you don't know which of the guys because they're like both beating each other up.
But here's the thing. They go on and on about how these men are being shot execution style and they're like when they are at the medical examiner's office or whatever.
Yes.
How there's powder on the guy's forehead. Like you can see like the burn mark, right? That's presuming that the barrel was pressed against his forehead.
Yeah.
But
he shoots him from
way far away.
Like way up on the edge of the pool.
Yeah. There would not be any powder on that victim getting shot from that far away. Not like that would leave like
nothing here makes any sense.
I know. Why am I looking for logic where there is none? I was like, that doesn't make any sense. They just made a big point about how he's shooting them execution style and then he doesn't shoot the one person we see get shot execution style at all.
Yes. I don't know. So then we get to know the nerdy guy on the team a little bit more. The one that they've nicknamed the Prophet.
Yeah.
I don't remember his real name because they don't use it.
It doesn't ever. Matter. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He has discovered that Jane McBride and her father, Ben, have both been missing from school and work for the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. And as he's going through this whole thing, all I was noticing is that he wears his watch backwards.
Oh.
With the watch face on the inside.
Yeah.
Which my boyfriend also does. So then I was texting him and I was like, is that a military thing?
Yeah.
And he said, no, like he just does it because his grandpa did it. And then apparently John Wick also wears his, which
really?
I found on the internet. But then I was reading that like
watch
it's, when you're holding a gun, it's easier to like look at your watch.
Oh.
Without having to like put it down. Yeah. So I guess it's like a tactical thing too that some people do.
But maybe it's just because they like with John Wick a lot.
I know.
I want to be more like John Wick.
Because he was like, yeah, I just did it. My grandpa used to do that and then I copied it and then I was reading it and saw that John Wick does that and I was like, no, it's not. It's because you saw John Wick and you think John Wick is cool.
Do you know what?
He doesn't listen to this. He won't hear.
In a few months when he catches up season five. I was so annoyed because like the prophet guy hangs up the phone, is like, I figured out who it is, but he already has 2 8.5 by 11 headshot style photos of these two missing people. I was like, so for all
he's like, Jane, his father Ben is yes. holding him up and you're like, when did you have time to print those?
Did you print those for everyone who could be presumably missing and you just picked those two like up out or like
what? Like when he held the girl's photo up, it was like, okay, it's well they were looking photo. For yearbook photos, so yeah. that makes sense. But then he holds one up of the dad and
it's
I was
the
like
same style photo.
First of all, why would you have that printed out? Right. Second of all,
why would the dad have that picture taken?
Why? Adults don't have 8x10 headshots no. of themselves no. available.
Like, no. And you can't just Google my name and find an 8x10 headshot of me.
No. It's insane.
So it doesn't make any sense. And I was so annoyed that he had them both and they were so huge and formal.
And that they existed
yes.
at all.
Yeah, I was like,
ugh. Oh my God. It was so funny. So yeah, Hutch and Sam go to the McBride's house. The mom answers the door and then hurries them inside and tells them that they've gotten her family murdered.
Mm.
So she shows them a video of a man being shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first victim, I guess. She received it along with a phone call that directed her not to call the police or her family would be killed. And they're like, well, this must be how he does it. He controls the families. And she's like, well, if he's done this before, why hasn't anyone come forward to talk about it? Mm. And Cooper says that he doesn't leave anyone with any information alive. And you're so like, then why have you not mentioned, like, you're like, the dads and the daughters are found in the car. And their mothers have been found murdered elsewhere. Right. But that has not come up yet, right?
No, right. That's why I was so confused. Like, so wait, are the mothers also being killed? Or do the mothers just not know anything?
Do they find...
They have to know something if he's sending these videos.
Or do they find dad, like, ones where the mom's, like, not alive or not in the picture?
I don't...
Or... Because they had not mentioned the mothers up until this point. No. And then he's like, he doesn't leave anyone else alive.
It's okay, because like, they're not going to mention them ever again anyway, so we'll never know the real answer.
Yeah. Just another thing where it's just like, this is lazy.
Yeah.
It's so lazy.
Yeah.
But Hutch says that they don't think that he has a partner because the video was shot with a tripod.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that he couldn't be both watching the house and keeping these people captive, although right. he is keeping them captive and kidnapping other people.
Sure.
So
yeah. Also, I love the insinuation that just because there's a tripod used... Like, you wouldn't bother getting a tripod if there was a person to hold the camera.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, maybe it was just easier.
It's always easier to put it on a tripod.
Just, like, shaky cam yeah. the whole time. So, Hutch asks Cooper to let them work the case and go home so his team won't get in trouble. And Cooper goes through this whole story about how they got sent home from some other case early because they thought they had solved it, but they hadn't really solved it. And then somebody else got killed and he could have been there and he wasn't. And Hutch was like, I was in Denver working another case. And Cooper was like, I wasn't doing anything. You're like, yeah, because I don't know where you've been all this time.
Because you're never doing anything as far as we know.
Yeah.
It's a very weird tone and they're like on a rooftop and it's just, I was like, all right, is Forrest Whitaker just not right for this or... What, like, why is this
like
so bad?
And the writing is bad because it's just this over-explanation. Yeah. And, like, we didn't need to know any of that story.
He says at the beginning that, like, Hotch already knows the story because they worked that case together, but he tells us the story
anyway.
He tells
us anyway.
Even though Hotch says he already remembered it. So, like, this isn't a real-life conversation. But I was like, do you remember that time this happened? And you were like, yeah. I wouldn't retell you the story because you were there and you already remember it.
Yeah.
So it's not the way people talk to each other.
No. And Hotch didn't have to remember that story.
Right. He could have been like, no.
Like, he could have just been like, oh, I kind of, like, it, or he could have kind of known the story, but, like, he didn't have to have been working the case.
Right.
It wasn't a case we remember.
Right.
So.
And we've never seen them work with another BAU team ever.
We could have, that could have just been the reason that Forrest Whitaker had to tell the story.
And now they're insinuating that they work together on cases and stuff. I'm like, since when? We've watched over 100 cases and you're always alone.
Since we invented this other team
right.
when this show got popular and we thought we could make more money off of it.
It just, it's so stupid because it's so bad, but it wouldn't be that much harder to do it the right way.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't understand why it's so bad.
Yeah.
I can't let it go.
No. So then, Prentice and Mick, the Welsh bad boy, head over to the crime scene. Where they do some weird flirting, but it is not cute because Mick sucks. He's annoying and he has no personality.
Yeah. And he's really not that cute. He's just a white man with an accent.
Yeah. They're like, ooh, accents are good.
Right.
I'm like, not always.
No.
It's implied that he was in the British Special Forces, but he will not confirm nor deny that.
Mm-hmm.
They note that the men look fairly healthy for being junkies. And then they figure out a timeline. The unsub takes the first victim to send a message to the wife so she won't call the cops, implying that all of these wives have been killed. Mm-hmm. And they just never mentioned it. And then he makes the other victims fight each other. In which case, with the dad, why? If they're assuming at this point that the dad is also being involved in this, why have they not mentioned, because they're like, there's always a dad and his daughter and they're found dead in the car.
And that the dad is like beaten to a pulp.
The dad is brutally beaten.
Yeah.
Because that seems important.
Yeah.
But I'm like, did they not mention that or was I not listening? I don't know.
No, they did not mention that. I really don't think they did.
So they think that the unsub has been locked up himself and that's how he's learned how to control his own prisoners. They're like, because in jail, they use chains? Are you just chained to a post at all times in jail? Because that is how he controls his prisoners.
Yeah. Well, they don't know about the chains yet. They think chains. Maybe there's something more sophisticated than that.
So Prentice calls Hotch and says they're ready to give the profile. And Mick says that there's someone else they need to give the profile to as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get so much profile. But before that, the prophet guy and Rossi go to visit some other guy in prison where we find out, I think it's, is it San Quentin?
Yeah.
And we find out that the prophet was also once incarcerated there, but he really turned his life around and now he's in the FBI. And you're like, oh, okay, so you're Garcia. You used to be a bad guy. And now, and now the FBI recruited you to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And it's, he talks to this prisoner and the dialogue is so weird and they like quote this verse back and forth to each other and it's like, again, not the way two human beings interact with one another.
I don't know, maybe it's prison talk.
I guess I don't have a lot of experience with prison talk. I
have to ask prison Mike.
It's the closest I've gotten to talking to a former prisoner is prison Mike.
But yeah, then we get a lot of 900 profile. Minutes of profile.
Yeah, seriously, it's so long. And everyone, they tell everyone, they're just like stopping people in the street, want to hear about this profile. Like, who else can we corner?
Morgan's just like getting a hot dog from a street vendor. And he's like, anyway, so he's probably a white man who has a history of being in prison.
Like, oh, it's ridiculous. All right. It's very likely that this unsub has a prison record. He's white, and judging by the age of the people he abducts, most likely in his 30s. Considering the terrain where he dumps the body, we think he's imposing, or at least very physically fit. He also has access to a space that's large enough to house and control a number of prisoners, all without disturbing the neighbors. So now we're going back and forth between them giving this to the police and them telling the singular prisoner at San
Quentin. When they did that, I thought that they were going to also give it to, I even typed it before.
Like to the guards.
To the guards. And then I was like, Erase no. guards, backspace, type this one dude.
one prisoner.
Just the one.
Sitting at a picnic table.
He's the guy that knows things.
Like, apparently.
He's like Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that can get you things and knows things.
This guy keeps to the This guy keeps to the same hunting ground, same dump site. He's a control freak, real organized. Also, he would have been obsessed with the guards, their methods of controlling the prisoners, especially in the yard. This dude kills folks the same few days every year. There's no way he's that obsessed, and he's not talking about it. And then they're also giving the profile to the wife and mother of the missing family.
Yeah, they sure are. Like, she knows what? The guy.
Like, why does she need the profile? Why would she need to know this?
That's because they needed to give Gina a line, too, show that she was making a connection with this wife because she's going to be the one on the team that connects with the people, obviously.
She's the JJ.
You can tell she's the JJ because she's a blonde woman.
Right, we don't need you to do that. We think this man has a daughter of his own, most likely brunette. The dates he chooses probably correspond to an event involving his own daughter. Our guess is that he lost his daughter in some way, and it's symbolic of him not fighting for her in the first place. A lot of times, killers choose victims who are surrogates for someone, like a wife or a mother. In this case, we think his own guilt is making him choose surrogates that represent himself. And then we go right back to the action with the end sub here.
I just did want to point out that that one lone prisoner guy was also in The Following.
No way.
I've got to watch The Following.
It's getting really unavoidable now. Yeah. It feels like some kind of karmic joke that every episode they're like, and this guy was also in The Following.
Yeah, he was not in Blood Lake, Attack of the Lampreys. So.
That's okay. You don't have to convince me to watch Blood Lake. But I will.
I like how they were like, they're like, oh my God, this could be about a dad who's been separated from his daughter.
Yeah.
Where have we heard that before? Oh, the last fucking case we did. We literally just did this.
They did a lot of dads being separated from families or not fighting for their families this season.
Literally a dad who becomes a serial killer because he's been separated from his daughter 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You couldn't have spread these episodes out. Like, this one adds nothing to the overall continuity or overarching plot of the season.
Right.
You could have stuck this one literally anywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's true. This isn't even about us. This is about the spinoff. So we're never going to hear about any of this ever again, including Sam Cooper.
No, it's never going to come up in the regular season, the regular series again. So then Hotch and Mick and Prentice decide to go wandering around the Tenderloin so they can see if they can.
You just want to say Tenderloin as many times as possible.
Yep. To catch the unsub in the act of abducting his new victim. So
they love a needle in a haystack.
Yep. Mick's like, I'm going to go up to my sniper perch because I'm the best sniper in the whole world and watch from up there. Mm-hmm. And then he sees a guy who's following another guy and he's like, This must be it. It must be him.
No, I was so mad about all
this. So then Prentice is like, stop, FBI. Like, and shockingly, the guy runs away. But she doesn't even wait and tail him until Mick comes down from the building.
Yeah.
She
gets a nice little head start.
Yeah, just goes off by herself.
You know the area that you're in. Why would you not wait for him to actually start trying to abduct someone?
He's literally just walking behind another guy.
Right? Like, you don't think this could be like a robbery or a mugging or a drug deal?
Which it is. He just wanted to buy drugs. Right. He was following the other guy because he wanted to buy drugs. It's no one.
And so they're not paying attention to anything else. Like, and it's only the two of them looking to catch him.
Well, they said like Hotch was going to be there too, but he doesn't come into play in this anyway. Yeah, he's just somewhere.
The only good part about
he found a noodle place.
Yeah.
It's just
telling the profile to someone else. The only good part of this was when Mick asked Prentice what she's wearing and she just says a gun, which is how I feel about everything Mick says. So like, just shut it down.
Shut up or I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter anyway, because the unsub is just playing Fight Club again in this pool.
But he's bored of it. You can tell he's bored of it. The dad's too good at fighting. He wasn't expecting the dad to be this good at fighting.
Yeah. Like, what does this dad do? What is
right?
What are his hobbies?
Yeah. What is he doing?
Oh, sorry, it just says, I'm honestly impressed. That's what I wrote in my notes. The unsub asks why he keeps doing this and says that Jane is better off with him anyway. The dad says that he won't break him. And then the unsub says that he has to kill the unconscious man or he'll shoot Jane. And then he just beats that man to death while apologizing the whole time.
It's so sad. Yeah. Like every time he hits him, he says he's sorry. And he just keeps hitting him because he has to. And I was like, oh, this poor dad.
Yeah. So luckily, I can't.
Are you sure? So, luckily is what you want to go with?
They set up, because they have this whole base set up. Yeah. And Cooper had really conveniently written day one, day two, day three on the chalkboard. Uh-huh. And then we get this whole scene where he X's out day two and circles day three. So luckily we know that the timeline is dwindling here. I was just like, oh my God.
It's really subtle.
It's like the only thing written on the chalkboard. It's like, what do we need to do? Set up the computers, set up the radio transmitter, write the number of days we have on a chalkboard. And like, where did they get that big chalkboard? Did they bring the big chalkboard
with
them? Right,
those are hard to find, especially in this day and age where no one writes on chalkboards
anymore.
Was
it just conveniently there? I'm so confused.
If they're traveling with that giant chalkboard, that's going to be really tough.
They don't even have the jet to use. How did they get it there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was just, again, this was another thing that I was just like, I'm going to hone in on this chalkboard. So Reed has compiled lists of teenage daughters who were taken from their father's care or died during the dates that the unsub abducts and murders and cross-references it with men who are incarcerated for violent crimes. Mm-hmm. So then Strauss calls in to check on the case.
It's time for her to get in the way, right?
Because she knows that Cooper is there. Mm-hmm. And Cooper takes the phone and talks to her. He tells her that Hotch had nothing to do with this. And she's like, you need to come home. And Cooper's like, with all due respect, ma'am, I have work to do. No. And she's like, all right, we'll just deal with this when you get back. Right. And doesn't do anything. And you're supposed to be like,
what were they so afraid
Strauss.
Of?
Yeah.
She's like, fine, finish what you're doing and we'll talk later. Like, she's giving you exactly what you want.
Yeah, again, this nothing that Strauss has done
she's
yet.
She's not stopping you from working on this case.
Makes me dislike her. Mm-hmm. She's always just doing her job. Like, it's her job to be like, you have to come home. Yeah. And then if they don't, then she can be like, I told them.
Yeah.
So Rossi and Prophet are talking to the prisoner about Charles Manson. And then also,
Rossi gets a good line in there.
Yeah. He was like, what was he like? And he's like, short or small.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. So, then there's another, they talk about this other guy and they're like, cause the inmate guy, he didn't know this guy. They weren't there at the same time, but he found out about him from some other guys. So he's just, you know, he's the guy that knows things. So he found out. This other inmate found out that his daughter died when he was in prison, and then he went crazy, and he started working out and making all the inmates box each other. And they're like, do you have a name? And it, like, cuts off before, but clearly he has a name.
Yeah.
And which makes all of that cross-referencing that they're doing with all of those files that Reed compiles utterly useless. Yeah. All you had to do was talk to the prison and find out.
Yep. Hey, at least this time, while they were waiting for this, like, swoop in and save the day bit of information, they actually were doing some real detective work. They weren't just waiting.
That's true.
Sometimes they're just waiting around for the answer to float down from the heavens. And it always does. But at least this time they pretended
they,
to
they
do
They were
the
trying. Yeah. They were doing a lot of irrelevant work in the background. So Gina and Morgan are going through Jane's room trying to decide why he chose her. Gina zeroes in on a collage of Jane and her friends, and then also her diary, which she started keeping after they started going to family counseling. They find out that the counseling office also does evaluations for social services, and they're like, all right, now we have another way to narrow this list down even farther. And you're like, we already know what the guy's name is. Yeah. You don't need to do this.
Did you think it was weird that Gina was said that a teenager wouldn't keep a journal unless they were forced to?
Yes.
Doesn't every 13-year-old girl have a journal?
Yes. That's just a normal thing to do.
Right?
She's I don't think Gina knows kids.
It's just sitting right out there where anyone could see it. Like, because she trusts her parents?
Yeah.
Like, because she's...
Well, she doesn't because She's like looking at the collage and it's like her and her friends. Yeah. And she's like, she's trying to cut her parents out of her life. And you're like, who puts pictures of their parents? What, right? What teenager
makes a collage of pictures of them with their parents? I'd be worried there was something else going on in that family if it was like that. But
I mean, like, remember when the middle schoolers at our school made collages last year that were supposed to represent their family and almost none of them had pictures of their family in it?
Of their siblings, especially
pictures of their pets.
Yeah.
And then one kid had a picture of his shed
because
they just got a new shed.
You guys aren't thinking about this. These people have never met a kid.
No.
Thing. Yeah. Like don't you have a brother? And like, oh yeah, I didn't put him in my collage.
Yeah, he didn't make it.
Yeah. But the shed did.
Yeah. I mean, my kid's picture or collage, I don't think, had a picture of me in it. Yeah. And if it did, it was like one really horrible picture that he took and thought it was funny.
My favorite is still when your daughter made that thankful turkey and put your middle school photo in it instead of a nice picture of you.
That was a good one. She found my mom's stash of all of our school photos.
So look, these kids are not out to represent their parents well, okay?
Yeah.
They're just not.
Then we cut to Jane and the dad and they get like this really sad scene. So they're like all chained up and the dad's apologizing for not being a good father. He says he always just wanted to keep her safe, but he like in that process stopped being a good listener and wasn't like paying attention to what she needed.
It's the only well-written thing in this whole episode.
And he's like, you know, I just need the last thing that you hear from me to be that I love you. Like, oh. And you're like, oh my God, this is awful. Yeah. It's so
this
sad.
Poor dad.
The unsub is this guy named John Vincent Bell, a man whose wife died and their daughter was taken away after he was declared incompetent. I almost read that as impotent. He was declared incompetent. And then when the social worker came to get his kid, he beat the social worker to death and then was sent to prison. And then the daughter died in a car accident while he was there. It's like one of these things where it's like, what am I supposed to feel sorry for you?
Right.
Because again, you've set this unsub up to be a horrible, really dislikable person.
Right.
And like, they've done like unsubs that you feel bad for very well in the past.
Right. And that you feel bad for, and they've had like not as tough of a break as this guy has had, obviously.
Yeah.
Like he lost his wife. The system took his daughter away. It's the exact same setup as last time. He lost his wife and the system took his daughter away because he couldn't care for her.
And then he became a serial killer and we hate him. So.
Yeah. So I don't know.
They also find out that his family owned a gym in the Tenderloin district, that has not been operational in years. I'm like, so in San Francisco, in the San Francisco real estate market, there's just this giant ass gym that's just sitting there and nobody's doing anything. It hasn't been redeveloped into a series of Airbnbs. I don't believe
that. I'm sorry, but a vacant possible gym doesn't even make sense. Like somebody would have that as a functional gym.
Yeah.
They're not letting good gym space.
What are the taxes that you are paying on that piece of real estate?
That's a very good point. The real estate in San Francisco is crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. Like there's no way that this man has just been in prison all this time. And like, who's paying the taxes?
Yeah.
I just want to know. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Jane decides to sacrifice herself to save her father. Mm-hmm. She tells the dad that she hates him and wants to get away from him and asks the unsub to take her away. And she reminds the unsub that she said that if she goes with him, that they'll both live, and tells him to prove that she's not that he's not a liar like her dad. So,
and it works.
It works. He leaves the dad all chained up and takes Jane away. Mm-hmm. And then, like 30 seconds later, the team swarms the gym. Which is called Bells.
Yeah, that's
not,
his name.
Not even Barbells.
No.
Right?
It's a real missed opportunity.
I know. I'm like, you guys had to make the sign. Come on.
It's just, well, and it doesn't make.
Barbells and the Tenderloin. I mean, even Tenderloins is a better name for a gym.
Oh,
that sounds like a male strip club.
It does. I'm going to go work out down at the Tenderloin.
I'm heading down to Barbells. It's a great name for a gym. I'm just saying. I'm mad about it. JJ finds Polaroids of the unsub and Jane because he was like doing some Polaroid selfies earlier and it was weird. They find the dad. Somebody actually calls the paramedics.
Yes, I was so proud.
Yeah. And Cooper's like, you know what we need? A helicopter. Yes.
Because I got like, the helicopter still here.
What? You know, so everybody's like,
what if it was like,
get to the chopper.
It was built into Forrest Whitaker's contract that there has to be a helicopter ride for him in it.
More helicopters. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah. That cannot possibly be the most efficient way to search a very large, very crowded city for two people. People,
yeah, who are on foot.
Two people on foot.
But they are going to corner him with the giant spotlight from the
helicopter. Yeah, he sure does. He spots them running into a parking deck. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this man's been in solitary confinement. He's been caged. He's going to try to escape to the roof.
You know what?
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
There's no good reason for it, except that we haven't gotten to see Mick's sniper skills yet. So they're obviously setting it up so that he can snipe him from another rooftop. That's the only reason that they, obviously, and the helicopter. We've also got the helicopter.
The helicopter has to land. But you know what made me mad about this is that like Morgan and Prentice and Gina are in the car and they get out of the car outside of the parking garage to run.
And then they run off the
ramp. I was like, wouldn't it be faster to catch up with them if you drove?
If you drove. We've seen how fast they can drive in a parking garage.
Oh my God. But they stop the car in the street and they jog up the ramp. And I'm like, why? Why?
My next note just says, after an inexplicable jog up to the roof.
Yeah.
The team corners the guy. He pulls out a gun on Jane. And Jane is like, you already lost your daughter. You wouldn't want to hurt someone else's, would you?
He has already.
He already has.
He's
clearly, he doesn't give
a shit.
He's killed two.
Yeah.
But this works.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part is that Forrest Whitaker and the helicopter are hovering right above. They can somehow still hear.
Yeah.
The helicopter is not making too much noise. And Forrest Whitaker is yelling at the pilot of the helicopter not to blind his team.
Yeah.
You're like, have you considered relocating the helicopter that doesn't need to be here at all?
It should just be like a wind tunnel with all of that helicopter, like with it being right on top of him like that.
In Shazam, when he's like doing his big like villain monologue and Shazam's like really far away and he's I can't hear you. That's what I was picturing the whole time. But yeah, he just lets her go. And then he like gets up on the edge of the parking deck and then just hops off.
Does like
off.
A little shrug.
Yeah. He's just like, adios. Mm-hmm. And then he hops off.
Mm-hmm.
And Prentice goes over to lean over and surprise, he's just there on the ledge with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls the gun on her and then Mick shoots him because he's
the special forces guy.
Yep. I was like, he's going to snipe somebody. He's got to do it. They've been bragging about it.
It just reminded me of, again, the It's Always Sunny with the McPoyles, whenever she leans over the edge and he's like right there.
Yeah.
You know, they spend all that time trying not to fall off the roof and then it's just like a jumpable distance they can just get down. And yeah, that's what it reminded me of when she like, because it's like the scary movie Mocking of Scream too, like when you think the killer's dead and they like, that happened to you.
So as he's being loaded into the ambulance, Jane runs over, tells her father that she loves him and didn't mean any of the things that she said. And she's reunited with the mom and everything. And then they all head back to the secret operations chalkboard base, where they also have a very large cooler full of a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Like, did you bring that or did you just
it's
go get all of that?
Different kinds of beer.
It's so much beer.
There's a lot of beer.
But yeah, everybody gets to have a party.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina gives Cooper a picture of Jane so that he can have a picture of a time that he trusted his gut and everything worked out.
Mm.
And then Strauss calls Cooper and he's like, oh man, what's this going to be? I'll talk to her this time. And then she's like, good job. I'm going to yell at you when you get back, but you did good work.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
And thankfully all of it.
Yeah.
And look,
I'm like, why do people hate Strauss so much? She's fine.
Yeah. She's not doing anything. You know who sucks? All of you guys.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with?
I don't know.
Statistics? We've got another white man. That's an easy place to start.
Yeah.
So another white man in season 5, 19 to 5, 79% white men. Overall, we're at 103 to 22. 82% nice. White men. We got to talk Hotch, though, because we got some Hotch to watch this time.
We did.
He, you know, he's smirking at Forrest Whitaker.
I know.
He's breaking the rules. And
I was going to say, he...
being a good colleague and...
Yeah, like when Forrest Whitaker, like, tells Strauss that he's not coming home and, like, basically, like, hangs up on her, Hotch is just... he almost smiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, we need to give him a half a point at least for a smile.
Right. So we had him at a 7.5. I really feel like he needs bumped to an 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah. Like a full point for all of the things that he, I don't know, Forrest Whitaker just really like loosens him up.
Yeah.
Sticking his neck out. Like I feel like there for much less, he would be like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to break the rules. Like, no, JJ, you can't call and warn your family. They're about to die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this, he's like,
well, it's because it's breaking the rules for the sake of a job, not breaking the rules for someone's personal life.
That is the big difference there. Yeah. Yeah, I think 8.5
I think so.
Is justified.
Yeah.
All right. How would you rate this profile as far as accuracy, helpfulness, and plausibility on a scale of 1 to 10?
Actually fairly high.
Yeah.
Because it was,
one guy figured out
it was accurate and it let, like once they told that one prisoner.
Yeah.
I think about how much faster it would have been if they told like a lot of prisoners.
Right. Or like the guards.
The guards even. They clearly would have known because they were the ones who put him in solitary confinement because he was so insane.
Right. And making people fight. Like, oh yeah, we had this one guy who was setting up fights. So we had to put him in solitary.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I would say pretty high, like an 8 maybe.
That's what I was thinking, like an 8, yeah.
It's the highest one we've had in a while.
Yeah, it sure is. Overall, though, wow, so glad that episode's over.
Yes.
The next one is Rite of Passage. If it's about a dad who's a serial killer, I'm going to lose my mind.
No, but it's about a serial killer targeting illegal immigrants, attempting to make safe passage into the United States. And I'm just a little, I don't know. This one seems like one that may have aged badly. I don't know. Yeah. Ones like this always make me nervous.
Yeah. For good reason.
Yep.
We are getting closer to the end of the season, though. So that's
something. I know. I was like, oh my God, this one was the 18th episode of the season.
Yeah. But how many are there? Like 23?
Probably. 42.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. No, that's how long the one season of Suspect Behavior felt.
Yes.
Look, I don't care how much money anyone pays us. We're not watching Suspect Behavior.
I don't know that I actually made it through the entire series of that.
I think
I only watched a couple of episodes, and the team never has any charisma at all, and it was just exhausting.
Yeah. There are 23 episodes in this season. But
nice. We're getting really close to the good ones.
We are. It's getting there. We just have to get through a couple, at least one more bad one, huh? I don't know that I remember this one at all, looking at the cast list. But anyway, that's a treat for next time. Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram at @TheUnsubIsAWhiteMan. You can find us on TikTok under the same name. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you get any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we'll be jogging to the roof of a parking lot.